PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to a spoiler bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Hang out in the studio, Deuce Cogburn, and Drew.
Yo, dude.
Oh, I thought we were going to harmonize on that for a second. I was about to go.
I got no fucking harmony, bro. I'm white.
White people can harmonize.
I got no rhythm. I got no harmony. I can't dance.
Well, you definitely don't have
no ass.
You definitely don't have that blue-eyed soul. That's right. I don't have an ass either. I can go, ooh. I can do that. A little bit of,
So awful. So incredibly awful.
Oh, boy. This episode brought to you by...
I would like to say that we're getting better at this as time goes on, but this just goes to prove the exact opposite.
We'll see. We'll see. I got a lot on my mind, Drew. A lot on my mind these days. Check out pftmedia.com for all the latest tidbits, should I say? Ooh.
Hey!
That's Tuesday. It's coming on Tuesday. Next episode of Tidbits. Spoiler bonus episode. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Oh, I should have had. Those buttons are.
Would have, could have, should have, Chris.
I guess. I have a button here for the doubles and the details for whenever Pedro and Dan are talking about a topic, and then Pedro starts ranting and raving about whatever, or goes on a joke terror or whatever. I'm supposed to play this.
Stay on target. We're too close. Stay on target.
Yeah, that's, stay on target. That's what I'm supposed to do. So I need to stay on target. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. We're talking about The Dark Tower. And if you want to know about the deets when it comes to either the book or the movie, the book series or the movie, if you want to know the deets, here we go. We're going to talk about them. If you don't want to know, if you're a spoiler phobe of some sort, if you're one of them weirdos, well then thanks for downloading. We appreciate it. PFTmedia.com. We're out. All right, that's for those folks.
Okay.
The Dark Tower. Have we ever done this before, Drew, where we've seen the movie and then like we saw it, when did we get out? We got on about an hour ago.
No, we have never done a get out of the movie and then come down and really like sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, we
normally we let it marinate.
We let it marinate. We think about it for a day or two right before we do something let's just get the. To be quite frank, I'm quite busy this weekend, so I want to get this one done. I want to get this one in the books. We've I don't want to say slacked off because it's just been time management's been tough, but we haven't done our share of spoiler bonus episodes that I like to do, especially during the summer, because mm-hmm. those are the big movies, the ones that make a lot of money. A lot of people are seeing them, right? It only makes sense.
Yes.
The Dark Tower. Is Dark Tower gonna make a lot of money? No.
No, I mean, we'll see. No.
What I just saw.
Well, what you just saw...
Too
I
weird,
mean,
man, for people to be like, you gotta go see this
I'm
movie.
Gonna get
good
to,
or bad,
but
too weird.
But, I mean, people want to see an Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey movie, and everybody loves... I mean, it's a beloved franchise.
Okay, fair enough. So that's opening weekend.
I think it's gonna do very well opening weekend. When it comes for, you know, word of mouth, and as it goes, the blah, 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 we'll see about
that. We talk box office, you know, I mean, weekly, loosely, but weekly, every week. What do you peg the opening weekend at? 20, 30, 40 million? What would you expect? It's a PG-13 film. Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey, both popular, not necessarily
huge
box office draws, per se. Everyone knows who they are. People don't necessarily go see their movies. It's more movie-dependent. It's an action movie. It's a genre film. Stephen King, how big is his audience? There's a lot of factors going on here. Where would you peg the opening weekend?
Somewhere around like $40
million. $40 million? I would go around 30.
I mean, it's summer. So people got a little bit more time on their hands. I think they're a pretty good draw. I think between those two and Stephen King and the fact that you have been bombarded with marketing for the last 6 months,
Yeah, they did. Actually, I was surprised by the amount of marketing they put behind it. I don't know why. I was surprised, but I was like, oh, look, they keep showing the trailer. Mm. And they even switched it up at the end there, and I started seeing some commercials on TV. Mm-hmm. I would still peg around 30. You would do 40? Eh, you know what? Nope. Now that I think about it, you're probably closer. We'll see. No. We'll see the next episode when we talk about them
somewhere,
box office numbers.
Hovering around that number there.
So somewhere around there. Yes, that opening weekend number is all about the marketing and the draws of the genre, the Stephen King, the names, etc., etc., the actors.
I mean, after that, I'm sure it's going to fall.
The weekend after, the second weekend, is when we'll see how people really react to it. Mm-hmm. And, so for people who don't know then, Drew hasn't read anything.
Haven't read it, yeah.
Well, no, haven't you read some of the comics?
Yeah, I started reading some of the comics. Yeah. I've skimmed through a few of them. I have
them. Didn't get into them, though, like it's some just, like, other stuff.
Well, I don't know.
Do you even remember what time period it's telling? Is it, like, young Roland?
Yes, he's young.
Okay.
He is boyish.
Boyish, okay. Fourth book. I bet you that's, like, a prequel to the fourth book, which is hysterical. Because the timeline of the books, all right, so there's 8 books because he wrote one in 2012, but fuck that book. So okay. There's 7 books, right?
Sure.
First one, I looked it up, The Gunslinger. I assumed it was late 80s, early 90s because I came to the series mm-hmm. in the early 90s. First book, The Gunslinger, written in 1982.
Okay, early 80s.
Early 80s. 1982. Second book, 87. And then the next one, 91. I started reading them like in 93, 94. That's mm-hmm. when they were introduced to me. Like I would say like 94, right? 97 is when the fourth book came out. So it's like, oh, what timing, right? It's like fresh in my mind. I read The Gunslinger. To me, that shit's new. And then the fourth one comes out. The fourth one is... now, this is actually important for later. The fourth one is Young Roland.
Okay.
Which is why I said it's like probably a prequel to the fourth one. Because the fourth one is mostly him sitting around a campfire with his... family that he has assembled by this point with his Vin Diesel's like family, real family. Yeah. And he's like, let me tell you about the Gilead and the Eld and all that stuff that they're referencing in the movie that they made references to. And then 5, 6, and 7 are all written after his accident when he got hit by that van and almost died. So 5, 6, and 7 were written between the years 2003 and 2004. They were cranked out, and they're like pretty long. And that's where there's a lot of New York City in the second book, and then in 5 and 6, and I think in 7, in 6 and 7, it's weird. Anyway, this movie has things that from like the Dixie Pig place mm-hmm. that's in like the 6th book.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm like. So I knew going into it that like I discarded as much as I could, and I watched the movie on its own merits. So I knew the references and the quote the Easter eggs as I like mm-hmm. to call them and everything. Yeah. But I did not as I watched the film hold it to the standard of like this is what I would expect it to be because it's not no way in any way shape or form The Gunslinger. The Gunslinger the book is a Western.
Yeah, this is not a Western.
Not even close.
No, this is even some
the
weird,
desert's a rocky desert.
This is some weird sci-fi. Fantasy actions, but
which is representative of the book series.
But here's the thing:
it does.
So
all
in the movie,
things.
In the movie, Matthew McConaughey, and Idris Elba, they're not even the main characters.
No, they're not.
They're ancillary.
It's Jake.
Jake's the main character.
Jake
the
Chambers.
Fucking child
the
is
fucking
the
kid.
Goddamn main character of this
Which,
movie.
If you think
He's
about it.
He's the story that we're following.
If you think about it, Stephen King, right? We saw that It trailer, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It actually felt, the way this story was presented, it felt in line.
Aligned with, yes, very much with that.
Which I was like, okay, fine. It's a retelling. Let's do it through the eyes of the kid. Totally different. I'm telling you, it's different. It's like
he's
not
got,
even.
He's got the shine, Chris.
He's got the shine, which is, I think, it's. Do he, I don't know if they call it. I can't remember. It's been a minute since I read the books. But it's the whole.
So he's got the shining?
King has the whole. Yeah, he's all about the Stephen King universe.
Like
where,
I said, he's got the shining?
Yes, he does have the shining.
And there was the. When they were in the woods and they were going through the old Theme parks.
Yes.
Did you see the fucking sign?
No, I couldn't read the sign.
There was a sign. There was a sign.
I was trying to. Yeah, the big
said,
sign. I couldn't read
the
it.
The big sign said Pennywise, and it had
did it?
All you saw coming out of the ground was a clown's hand holding three balloons.
Oh, I did not notice that.
And I'm sitting here. I'm like, what? So what? This is just Stephen King universe that we're in now?
Yeah, that's a weird thing to have.
Yeah.
Right in mid-world.
Yes.
Which they don't.
Yeah. In this weird alternate dimension thing where apparently...
So let's break down the plot.
Homeboy's a sorcerer?
Because now as I'm thinking about it, I have a feeling that is my brain filling in details that from reading shit years ago. Okay. Break down the plot. Let's do it this way.
I mean, as far as...
Let's start from the beginning. How did the movie start? We just saw this a few hours ago. How did it begin?
The movie started with one of those kids going into the machine on Midworld.
That was a weird intro, right? So it was Midworld, and it's Walter, Matthew McConaughey.
Well, you see these kids, and you know they're dressed like humans here on Earth, so you're assuming they're here on Earth.
Yes.
And they're sitting there doing the thing, and all of a sudden, these...
A sensor
bracelets.
Goes off on their bracelet.
Yeah,
weird-looking bracelet.
Yeah, weird-looking bracelets. Weird-looking people.
Yeah, the alarm's there's like... Right?
People who have strange scars.
Yes, and you see them when...
And you see them.
They're massaging the skin.
Yeah, they're massaging them and putting it back on. So you can tell that, like, some of the people, like the adults, basically...
The adults, yes.
...have... Their skin is, like... It's, like, pasted on.
They're wearing, like, people's
suits. They're wearing people's suits, yes. Basically.
They're wearing people's suits.
And all of those people are... They got these kids, and then the sound goes off, and they bring them inside, and Matthew McConaughey straps these fucking kids into this thing, and all of a sudden they start screaming, and a giant energy bolt shoots out of a machine.
He called it a beam quake later.
Into the sky.
Yeah.
And then shoots into, and boom, hits the tower.
Yes.
And then kid wakes up.
And then the kid wakes up from the shaking. An earthquake wakes him up.
Earthquake wakes him up.
So every time the tower gets hit, earthquake happens in New York.
Yeah. Well, somewhere on Earth.
Somewhere on...
Because they're...
Keystone Earth.
Yeah, because they allude to it happening in other cities and whatnot.
Yes. Yes. So, okay. Yeah, so that's how it
opens. That's how it starts.
That's how it opens.
And then you get... And then we get our
setup of
our
Jake.
Our Jake intro.
Which takes like 20 minutes.
So you get your Jake intro. Talks about him and his dreams and the blah, 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 blah.
He dreams of the tower and the man in black.
Well, no, exactly. And that's what he's drawing.
Yep.
And while... When he goes to sleep and we see his dreams, that is our introduction to Roland and the Men in Black.
They're
and
his dreams.
Theirs and what's going on in their world.
Yeah,
his dreams.
We see Roland through his dreams before we actually see him in the movie. He doesn't pop up in the movie until like 35 minutes
in? Yeah, because the 35 minutes in, the skin people come for him. They're looking for him. They find him on Earth.
Yes.
And then he runs away and he finds the first portal. And
he accidentally finds a portal.
Yeah,
sort of. Through his investigation of his dreams and his pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah, he finds the portal, and then, boom, he gets to Midworld.
Yes.
And then he...
Literally stumbles across
Roland.
Literally stumbles across him. That is how it starts, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it is like Jake's movie from that point.
It's
centered on him. It's his POV.
Yeah.
Roland is someone who comes in.
Like I said, ancillary.
Man. At the end, it's like, you want
to team up?
You want to go in? Walk off together?
Do 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 do.
What the fuck is that? yes, and then he gets there, and then he like stumbles across. He's like, "Oh, I'm drinking your water."
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh man, I gotta go kill this dude." He's like, "Can I come with you?" He's like, "Yeah, I guess so." Right?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, and then
he takes him. He shows him the picture, so he's like, "I'll take you to this place where they got the seers."
Yeah, exactly. But they go through the forest.
Yeah.
And that's when you see the Pennywise thing with the blah, blah, blah.
That's where he gets to the old carnival stuff,
the theme park.
And he's like, people don't know what these ancient ruins are.
He's like, it's a theme park.
It's a theme park. And he's like, no one knows.
He's like, okay.
He's like, eat your rabbits. I am Roland.
Yeah, and then he falls asleep, wakes up, sees the demon that looks like his dad. Roland wakes up, shoots the demon.
Yes, the demon, which is, okay, so he said every time... The beam hits the tower. It like creates little like ruptures, so some of the demons can get through. Mm-hmm. So that one got through. Man, okay. So then there's that whole scene where it's the shootout scene. He's trying to kill the demon, and it pins him to the tree. That's the same. No, first he kills that one, the one that's pretending to be his dad. right? They get rid of that one, and then they're walking away, and then another one comes out, right? The one with the spikes on its back. Uh-huh. But, like, for the life of me, I couldn't... It was so dark. Yeah. It's such a digital blob that I had such a hard time following what was happening in that scene. Could you... What were your feelings of that?
I mean, it was dark, and the demon itself was a dark shade. I mean, it was an odd shape. It was some weird... insect demon winged creature thing.
Yeah, it's like your eyes are already adjusting, trying to see what it is, and then it's moving really fast. Yeah. And it's a digital
thing
blob.
The thing had fucking six legs.
Yeah.
Sharp teeth, I think.
I'm sure if we could see like drawn the artist renderings, the stills, like, that thing looks amazing. Let's make that thing into a crazy dimension monster. And then they realize as they're trying to render it, like, oh no, this is
not art.
It's starting to desaturate.
Anyway, so yeah, that's that part, and then
it stabs him, but it does. Roland gets hurt.
Yeah, it actually hurts him
very badly.
Very badly,
which is something I appreciated because throughout the books, he keeps getting hurt over and over.
Yeah, well, and you see, and that's I mean, eventually,
like really badly.
I mean, I hate to skip around a little bit, but at one point in time, like
you got it pretty far already in a linear fashion.
Well, because near the end, I mean, I know in the books, and we talked about this before we went and saw the movie.
Yes.
I guess the very end of the books
of the series,
of
book seven. Yes.
Go ahead and talk about that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, the way because this is how it sets up this movie.
Well, it sets up this movie, and B, Matthew McConaughey actually talks about it,
which apparently they're talking about in the marketing.
It's kind of the throwaway line too, which is weird.
Yeah, he does say that, right?
That's why I want to bring it up.
The first book opens with him trying to find the Man in Black. And then at the end of the book, it's really funny. At the end of the book, he finds him. He finally gets to him, right? And it's like nighttime, and they're on a beach, and there's a fire, and they're just sitting there and having a powwow. And I think maybe they even like pass a peace pipe, right, and smoke. And then Walter tells him all this shit. Roland falls asleep, wakes up 10 years later. The Man in Black, his clothes are just on the ground there, and it's just like bones. It's like, oh shit. And that's how the first book ends. The second book opens with him still on the beach, and then these like lobster type things come out of the water, and then immediately with their giant claws take off two fingers on one hand and three on the other, and he has to spend the rest of the that's insane. So the rest of the movie rest of the book movie the rest of the second book he's like dealing with fucking crazy his hand injuries, and that's when he finally gets to New York for the first time, and he learns about aspirin, and he's like, oh, this is amazing. Anyway, so the whole series is him trying to get to the tower, which is so funny that like this movie opens with the tower. The whole series is him trying to get to it. He doesn't get to the tower until book seven, The Dark Tower. Mm-hmm. And in that one, he gets it at the end of The Dark Tower. And I think that's where... Is that where the Crimson King is, maybe? Man, I want to read these books now. So he gets to the tower. He climbs up to the top of the tower. He goes through the final door. And he wakes up back on the beach in the beginning, where he's first like looking for the Man in Black, where he's gonna go first looking for him like 10 years prior, 20 years prior, whatever.
So it's all just a big cycle.
But it's explicit in the book, at the end of the book, that he has an item, a horn, that has some sort of significance from like the fourth book, I don't know. And because this time he had the horn, the last time he didn't have it, this time he does have it. It's different. It's the same, but it's different. And then this is like one of those cycles. It's some sort of, maybe even in that. I didn't see a horn. Did he have a horn? He may have had a horn.
So it's kind of Matrix-y, kind of thing where cycles are going and he just keeps repeating this. It's definitely not the first time he's gone through the cycle. Definitely won't be the last.
But I think the mythology is so thick that they just make throwaway lines to it.
Well, because near the end of the movie, Matthew McConaughey is thinking, talking to Roland, kind of, but more talking to himself, and he's one more time around the wheel, my friend. One more time.
Yes, that is all right.
If I hadn't known that just little bit of knowledge
that it was a reason, yes,
yeah, that you know it, that this whole thing has happened before, blah blah blah. Line would have made zero sense. It would have been a fucking throwaway. There would have been no significance to it whatsoever.
It would have been more of a throwaway line. It is treated as a throwaway line. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's treated as a throwaway. throwaway.
And it's really this big significant thing.
Very significant.
But how can they? I don't even understand. I don't know what they're doing. If that is their approach to the story, I don't know where they're going with it. They're just going to protect the tower from what? More? That's why I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I never read the books. So for me, this was some weird sci-fi fantasy movie with sorcerers and a guy that calls himself a gunslinger.
He's a gunslinger, but with the guns that were made from...
The Allstate guy. Yeah.
The Allstate guy is the father,
the Allstate guy is the father
of Luthor, yeah. Who has guns that are made from the steel of the sword from that Transformers movie.
Yeah. Well, on Earth, they call it Excalibur. Apparently, this sword is multidimensional.
Well, it's a movie as well. Or comes
up in at least. So apparently, this famed sword comes up in every world. Because he calls it the sword of something.
The Gilead? I think it was talking about Gilead.
Anyway,
he's rolling up Gilead.
But
Arthurian bullshit.
Exactly, but he calls it the sword of something and said, on Earth they call it Excalibur.
Oh, yeah, the sword of... I think he called it the sword of Arthur, actually, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
I think
so there we go.
The sword of Arthur. And for the dummies in the back row, on Earth they call it Excalibur. Also, funny, they kept calling it Keystone Earth.
Yeah, Keystone Earth.
Didn't explain why it's called. There's a very significant reason for it. That's part of the whole deep mythology thing that they're just like, we're just going to keep calling it Keystone Earth over and over. And it's like, it's this funny thing. But so, what, as if then they're going to explain it 2, 3, 4 movies on the line? So they're going to, they wanted to make a TV series, but the TV series would be based on the fourth book, which is all the young stuff, the Arthurian type stuff.
Okay.
I don't want these people making any more of this stuff. They can put it to bed. We're only halfway through what happened in the movie. They even gotten to roll into Earth.
At that point in time, it's just a lame action movie. Like, they get to Earth, he goes to the hospital, there's a comedy scene there.
A bit of comedy, yes. Calling the Coke sugar. It's like, give me more of that sugar.
They do a little bit of an investigation, they find out his mom's dead.
No, he's like, Mom, no!
He freaks out.
He's like, stop using the shine,
tracking
you.
Uh-huh. Then they track him, they find him.
They take him.
He uses the shining to...
He's like, Roland, find me!
Yeah, and then Roland comes as the end fight scene. Boom, game over.
Boom, fucking boom, boom. Roland kills a lot of people.
Yeah. Roland kills a lot of people, including the man in black, and it's over.
Including the man in black, which I actually...
Walter's dead.
Well, he died at the end of the Gunslinger.
Okay.
But like I said, he died at the end because Roland falls asleep for 10 years, wakes up, and then in black's bones are just there in his clothing. He's like, oh, it's 10 years later, and his bones are there. So that's not surprising at all. Well, I did like how he killed him with he shot the one bullet, and then he shot another bullet in a ricochet, but it hit that bullet, and he sent the bullet. Yeah. All
right. Lots of ricochets.
A lot of ricochets.
He had some gun-fu going.
It's too much. So, just make him a good shot. So it doesn't have to be like doing ricochets.
I did like, I think maybe the coolest part of the action was the reload scenes, actually.
All his, the fast fingers, the belt, the speed belt.
Yeah, the speed belt.
And just like,
and I like how instead of using the seat belt, like, you've got the row here that normally for you to take one out and then put it in. He just puts his fucking gun to it and they just snap right in.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, that was cool.
Stephen King in the books does go to painstaking detail to describe how, in his way anyway, detail, to describe how fast Roland is and the gunslingers were with loading revolvers because they were all old school revolvers and stuff too. I suppose like just give the guy an AK.
Machine gun.
I mean, come on, man, lay down some cover fire, bro, with this shooters.
Nope, he just wants 45 rounds.
You know what? One detail. This is like you with X-Men stuff, but like one detail that they could have thrown in that would have really worked.
Now you know how I feel when I watch these fucking comic book movies.
I do, and I'm really trying hard to separate it. I'm just saying this would have helped. Not including it didn't necessarily hurt the movie, but this could have helped, and it's really just a small detail.
Well, a lot of things could have helped the movie, Chris.
Maybe. They could have found a way to do it, too. Still, a lot of things would have helped this movie. Like, you're right. they describe how when he changes really fast, he changes the bullets, and he's doing all that so fast that the gun and everything's like super hot because he's shooting so many bullets, and his fingertips are just like singeing and burning because he keeps using his gun and the way he's loading and everything, and they're all like fucked up. His hands are fucked up by the end because what happens in the book, he rolls up to some town called Toll. And like the Man in Black came through before, so like he's there, he kind of gets lulled in for a second, and then he sleeps with some chick, wakes up in the morning in her bed, and then like the whole town like tries to kill him, and he's like and he has to kill the entire town, and it's like Walter's way of being like, fuck you bro for chasing me, now all these people's like death are on your conscience. And that was like the description of that's really display of his gun foolery. And I don't even think Jake was with him at that time. Jake doesn't pop up in the book like halfway through. Spoiler for the book, Jake dies in the first book.
Nice.
Jake dies.
Yes.
He falls down like a fucking like cliff or something, and he has this like ominous like we'll meet again like another world, and he just like he actually kind of lets himself go off the cliff so Roland can keep going, and then that's like haunting Roland forever. But then Jake comes back like another version of Jake in the second book. He goes into New York and he gets a different version of him. And so every time he's looking at him, he's like, shit man, like I let you die. Roland's a distraught dude. It's pretty it's pretty fun. That's my Harry Potter. Roland that shape is my Harry Potter. Actually, now that I think about it. And then he just shows up and kills everyone, and he kills everyone, and then breaks the machine, blows up the entire blows it up. Then they're back in New York eating hot dogs. He's like, what kind of dog is this? And he's like, the Chihuahua. He's like, that's pretty good.
Exactly.
He's like, any more of that? What's that? Sriracha? He's like, you got that Sriracha. He puts it on there. And he's like,
you want to go on some more adventures?
And you want to go on some adventures with me? And it's like, yeah, let's go. And then they just like walk off like Rizzo and John Voight and Midnight Cowboys.
So weird.
Get on a bus, go to Miami. And then Roland has a stroke and dies.
Yeah, it's sad. Like I said, it's coming from somebody who is unfamiliar completely with, you know, the story and the universe and this, that, the other. It seemed like this was a very abbreviated and quick, like, little dip into this vast fucking ocean of nonsense.
Yeah, a vast fucking ocean of nonsense is what it is ultimately, and you just dipped a toe in it.
Yeah.
And it ultimately made no sense.
I mean, it made sense as a whole, but, you know, I didn't understand, you know.
Did it, though? Because why?
A lot of the terminology was throwaway. A lot of the lines that were very important were treated as throwaway because somehow they tried to play service to the fans while still making it something that a newcomer could just watch and be like, okay.
Yeah, which is the most annoying thing. Do one or the other. Just
exactly.
Yeah, just tell a story. Don't try to over-service it. Man, it was, like, weird. I was really trying hard to be like, all right, well, it's its own thing. Let's just follow it on its own logic. I didn't understand right away when they were like, the Dark Tower sits at the center of the universe and protects the universe. I'm like, right, with the opening title card, right? Remember that?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay. Dark Tower, okay.
Center,
which is, I think that sounds right. That sounds from the book. And then the second line, some say the mind of a child can take it down. I was like, what the fuck does that, what does that mean? So immediately I was like, all right.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
I don't even know what that means. So we're off. It's like, this is something totally new and different. And to the point where, when was it? 15, 20 minutes in, he's having one of his dreams. It's the second dream, and like it cuts to black during the dream. It cuts to black.
And you're then, like, am I going to get nothing but rolling through dreams?
No, I knew. Because, no, we saw the trailer, and we knew they were finally going to interact. Like, the trailer shows quite a bit, actually. It cuts to black, and some lady says, the man in black crossed the desert, and and the gunslinger followed. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opening line for the gunslinger for the book. And hearing that, I was like, I kind of got like, oh, wow, that's actually... It elicited an interesting response from me that wasn't even like a reflexive response in terms... Because I've read the book, I guess, at a certain time in my life, and I've reread it. So I was like, oh, I guess I am like kind of yearning for something that's closer to... what I read as opposed to go in and whatever do something new. But still, it's like I put that aside. I was like, you know what, fuck it. And then that feeling never came up the rest of the movie. They never did anything again that got me like that. And I was like, you know what, when it was over, I was like, yeah, you know what, it was pretty dumb. It's kind of a dumb movie.
Yeah, take out the name of the Dark Tower and Stephen King, right?
And call it Otherworld. Idris Elba kills a bunch of people.
And call it something else. And I mean, in all reality, it's just a subpar. It's a subpar sci-fi / fantasy movie. That's all it is.
I agree. It is. Yes, I agree on that. Let me see if I can so recommend in any way, shape, or form people watching.
I mean, if you're interested,
what did you like about it?
I
liked Idris Elba.
Idris Elba was great.
I feel like they could have.
I mean, like I said, more. It seemed. I like the production design. I like the world that they created. I just wanted something better from it. You know,
better like
story wise, anything wise. I mean, I wanted a lot less New York City, a lot more whatever the fuck the other place was, because the other place seemed a lot cooler. And there are demons over there. Matthew McConaughey's running around telling people not to breathe.
I liked how ruthless Walter was.
Yes, and the fact that his name was Walter, it's so silly.
It's always been fun. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's another bad guy in the third book. His name is the TikTok Man, but he's all like fucked up and crazy. And then you don't like the TikTok Man. Ooh, he's not good. I mean, Pennywise is called Pennywise. That's a dumb name, but now he's Pennywise. Like, oh, and there's the band Pennywise. So now it's cool too. Who else is in? There's another dumb name. Blaine, the mono. At one point, a bunch of the characters get on a monorail that is sentient. And when they get on Blaine, the mono, this is at the end of the third book, he's like, you want to play a game? And pretty much he's like, we're going to have a riddle off. And if you guys don't stump me with a riddle, by the time we get to the end of the line, we're just going to crash at the end at like a few hundred miles per hour. We're all going to die.
Sweet.
Suicide, so the beginning of the fourth book opens with them trying to
on a suicidal monorail
trying to outriddle the Blaine suicidal monorail. It's a fun series, man. And then after King like almost died and then came back and then considered retiring and not even writing, and then he freaked out and was like, I need to write. And then he freaked out about possibly dying, and I need to finish this series.
And he freaked in.
So he freaked in and cranked out the last three books, and they get weird to the point where he's a character in his own books. He writes his own car accident scene where he gets hit by a car. He writes from the perspective of the driver. Weird. It is, oh my god, it's so strange. He wrote one of them.
Which book?
I think the fifth one. He wrote the fifth one on while he was on pain pills.
Vicodin.
Yeah. Because he was still recovering from the accident. He almost died. He got really fucked up. So I'm pulling up here from Variety, an article about how it was a bit of a troubled production on the Dark Tower.
So is that the excuse you're using?
They're not trying to use an excuse. This is just sort of like Variety trying to be like, boom, we got you, bitches. And then the principals from the Dark Tower, producers, director, are like, no, it's cool, we got it under control. Like, damage control type shit. So, let me see, I'm gonna pull up some stuff here. Multiple sources told Variety that the creative process, particularly in post-production, was plagued with problems and clashing visions. Sony Pictures, blah, 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 downplay any suggestions that the movie faced major hurdles, right? Bullshit. When the director delivered an early cut of the picture that alarmed Sony Pictures executives, they considered bringing in a more experienced filmmaker to recut it. While the executives denied this and insist their contribution was limited to notes, one insider said that one of the executives spent hours in the editing bay offering his input. The director Seemed ideal on paper, blah, 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 blah. Three blind screenings last October. Okay, now, this movie was supposed to come out in January. Three blind screenings last October, shown before final effects work had been completed, confirmed fears that the picture was a mess. Audiences at test screenings couldn't understand and poorly a classic tale of good and evil, The Dark Tower, blah, 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 blah. Sources say the companies ultimately opted not to enlist another filmmaker. One said it would have been too costly, one person said. But the executives from the studios remained heavily involved. Ron Howard... why are you popping up here? Because Ron Howard's one of the producers. At one point, he was actually going to direct this movie himself, which still would have been terrible. Imagine Tom Hanks as a gunslinger.
Duh. Maybe Tom Hanks is Walter?
Actually, oh, ooh.
That would have been good. That would have been good.
He also looks like a Walter. That actually would have been good, Drew. Ron Howard advised the director on the music, and producer Akiva Goldsman helped wrangle the film into shape. Akiva Goldsman is one of the hackiest hacks to ever hack in Hollywood.
Well, that's why he made a fucking hacky Dark Tower.
I guess so. The director insists that he was not sidelined, quote, from the director, on a film with two studios and powerful producers. Obviously, there is much passionate creative debate on how to work certain ideas or beats, but I felt supported throughout. They all looked to me for answers. If someone had jumped into my editing room and taken over, I would have left instantly. The director's also a Danish fellow, so...
Danes.
I don't know how proud they are. They seem to be a proud people. Is that racist?
I know nothing of the Danes.
Is that ethnicist? How does racism work again? The executive said they were impressed with the director's work, and he hopes to collaborate with them in the future. We shot this on time and on budget. We didn't go over our schedule by even a day. Sources paint a more acrimonious picture of the production. Here we go. One that was enabled by the unique nature of the deal that Sony struck with MRC, a pact that allowed competing power centers to emerge, the two companies split costs, and in return, MRC was granted, quote, kill rights. Oh, excuse me, let me get that right. They were granted kill rights on everything from the marketing campaign to the final cut of the picture. If one company didn't like a trailer or a cut of the film, it had to be scrapped, making it difficult to achieve consensus. It's a rare type of partnership with a kind of sign-off that few production companies enjoy. That led to a case of too many cooks, said one insider.
Sounds all right.
Sony and MRC spent $6 million on reshoots to fill in more backstory about Elba's character's hatred for McConaughey's Man in Black. I wonder if that was the stuff with his dad.
That cost $6 million.
No, there's more stuff. They had to do more than that. Or maybe it did. Who knows? That could have been an expensive force. In addition to better familiarize audiences with Midworld, the film's magical setting, 5 minutes of exposition were cut and a new scene was shot to combine ideas that had been sprinkled throughout the picture. I bet you that's when Roland sits down with Jake and he drew the map on the ground. And he tells him, like, well, this is Midworld, and here are the worlds, and it's being protected from, you know. I bet you that's the scene. Blah, 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 blah. So there you go.
Apparently, it was a shit show. Oh, my cuticles.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a very good movie, so.
It wasn't a very good movie.
And then again, you know, looking back on it, trailers weren't that great for it either.
I thought the first trailer was fine. It was intriguing. It showed some of the house demon.
Oh, you mean the sticks that vaguely formed around him until he screamed?
It was underwhelming.
Well, he used the shitting.
He did use the shitting. I was like, what happened? And then later he explained he used the shitting. I was like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, I guess so. I gotta go rebuy the first book.
Yeah, so I can read it.
So I can read it too. But yeah, I gotta get it again. I have the second one. If you just want to read the second one, first one's pretty good. 1982. It's a long time ago.
I think it was a good year.
It's a good year. The Thing came out in 1982. So did E.T. No. I mean, come on.
Metallica's first album as well. Kill 'Em All was in 82.
Oh, really?
That's not.
That's a bummer. Too bad I wasn't right the way. Did you hear that? You hear that static? That was Drewster's phone saying, "What's up?" New character on the show, Drewster's phone. He goes, wah, wah. That was his review of The Dark Tower. What did you think of The Dark Tower? Wah, 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 wah. If you want to stop
listening, oh, I'm sorry. Kill 'Em All was 83.
83. Oh, 83. What a shit year 83 was.
Hey, fuck you. I was born in 83.
Oh, shots fired. Pew, 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 pew. Oh man, I'm tired. All right, so
Sleepy already. Sleepy Crespo.
No,
we got Sleepy Crespo.
It's been, you don't even know the long day I had, man.
No, you're right. I don't. All I know is the long day I had.
Oh, you did have a long day?
Yeah. I mean, I woke up at 5:30.
Get your phone. Your phone's talking over us. That's your phone saying what's up. How's it going, phone? And what you think of the movie? All right, get the fuck out of here. You're a shit reviewer. I get a terrible podcast.
I mean, yeah, you're talking to my phone that nobody can see.
Oh, I'm a terrible podcaster.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419. All over the interwebs.
All over the interwebs, people. Episode 239 this week, and we are going to have a guest, a brand new guest, and a new member of the PFT Network. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Hope you enjoyed this episode for this sadly bit of a bullshit movie. What a bummer. What a bummer. Peace.
A PFT Media production.